Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wes, it may be Championship Sunday in the NFL, but at least we can call it Victory Sunday in the land of Syracuse hoops. Matt D'Agostino alongside Wes Chang with the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Let me check here. Yeah, it's almost halftime of the football game. I got a few minutes to chat, Wes. No worries. I'll make a few minutes here. Syracuse 77-65 victory at home over NC State on Saturday. Led by as many as 21 in this one. A fairly ho-hum second half after a good start in the first half, but make it six straight wins now against NC State for Syracuse, Wes. And we saw a lot of good things happening on Saturday in the Dome.
Matt, when Chris Bell and J.J. Starling are hitting from downtown, Syracuse is a very hard team to beat. So they combined for 39 points, 7 for 15 shooting from downtown for that duel. And I want to talk about that 13-0 run in the first half, because I think that's what everyone is talking about, which is Starling and Bell providing the impetus, accounting for all the points during that run. Obviously, Bell hitting 3 three-pointers. And I think it was fitting that that run ends with a Starling steal. He feeds Bell for the fast break dunk to cap things off. That run was all really Syracuse needed to take control of that game. One other thing I want to point out is that Syracuse really took care of the ball. You know, only 9 turnovers on the afternoon. I was texting with our Jim Stickschulte, and he pointed out that Syracuse in its last 6 wins, 9.2 turnovers in that game. So if you're staying below that 10-turnover mark when you take care of the ball, good things happen. Certainly did for Syracuse on Sunday.
Especially when they're creating turnovers on the other end, which they have been apt to do along the way this season. Not only that 13-0 spurt, but J.J. Starling himself got out to a good start, scored first 8 or 10 points for Syracuse in the ballgame, knocking down a couple of shots. Just seems very confident and comfortable the last few games for sure. But second half, Syracuse led them to within 9. But they did a good job kind of closing things out and kind of stopping the bleeding in that second half after NC State was hanging around again. As we've seen, you know, Syracuse really hasn't been able to put teams away when they've been up. They were fairly comfortable the entire second half, but again, never really delivered that knockout punch along the way.
Yeah, and I to your point, Matt, they were up as many as 21 points out of intermission. They let the Wolfpack get to within that 9-point barrier with about 2 minutes to go. And then they finally woke up. You know, Quadir Copeland, J.J. Starling helped put things away. And Red Autry talked about it after the game. Syracuse really took its eye off the ball for a little bit. When they ease up off the gas, it was something that Syracuse was really fortunate to get away with, because NC State's a good team. All the ACC teams are good teams. And if you let off the pedal like that, it does play into a dangerous area.
Makes sense. I saw the stat they posted yesterday during the game. 0% of Syracuse's total points this year coming from seniors or freshmen, 90% coming from the sophomores, with no senior contributions to speak of. It does lend itself to, again, finding that groove with all the sophomores that they have, relatively inexperienced as a group. So going through some of those bumps along the way, probably to be expected, but Adrian Autry doing a good job kind of navigating them through those lulls throughout the season. Wes, I wanted to kind of play a word association with a few guys that we saw on Saturday and just get your thoughts on where your head is with a couple of these guys. And, I'll do the same. We'll start. We've talked with J.J. Starling. What comes to mind when you hear J.J.'s name?
I think the word I'm going to use here, Matt, is improving. As we saw, a career-high 26 points, as you mentioned, 4 for 9 from downtown. Now, he's shooting 31.1% from three-point land this season. It's not anything to write home about, but keep in mind, he actually started the season 1 for 18 from downtown. So the fact that he's shooting above 30% after that horrible start is really saying something. He's actually shooting over 40% since the turn of the new year.
So my word was going to be settling. I wanted to say settling in, but settling sounds like a negative connotation. So I switched. I'm going with groove, as in he's settling into a groove. You mentioned all the numbers. They mentioned during the telecast yesterday that Jerry McNamara has been working a lot with him in kind of tightening up his shot mechanics and getting a quicker release. You mentioned how much he's improved since the beginning of the year. If I told you he's had 12 threes in his last four games, six of them against Miami, four against NC State on Saturday, you want to guess how many he had in the first 16 games?
Less than that number, I'm guessing. I would guess 8 or 9.
11 threes in his first 16 games. He's had 12 in the last four. So something starting to click for J.J. Starling from deep. And that's a good sign because we know he can get to the rack. We know he can pull up in the mid-range. And having a consistent shooting option is something this team has lacked all season. So you mentioned it, when Starling's improving, Chris Bell has been fairly consistent the last few games or so. We're starting to see some of those threes come to fruition more often with those guys. JJ's backcourt mate, Judah Mintz. What word do you have to describe him, whether it be his performance yesterday or in general?
Yeah, Matt, I'm going to say ranked here. Ranked is my word, as in Judah Mintz is ranked 7th nationally in free throws attempted in 165, free throws made in 129. He's ranked nationally. That's really impressive. He got to the line 20 times, and despite shooting 3 for 9 from the field, he finished with 20 points. But the point I'll also make here is that he also had 9 assists, and he was looking for his teammates a game after he only had 3 assists. I mentioned this in the last podcast. Syracuse is a much better team when he's a facilitator, not a scorer. But he's ranked, he's getting to the free throw line. Even when he's not shooting well, he's finding ways to contribute.
35 free throws in the last two games is just absurd at any level. And I think my word kind of echoes what you're saying. I'm saying resourceful. Basically, you know, he has not been shooting the ball that well this month. 36% for the month. But even though he's not doing that, he's getting the assists, like you mentioned. He's getting 8 points a game at the free throw line this month alone, which is ridiculous. But he's also averaging 4 rebounds, averaging 6 assists, 2 steals. So even when he's not shooting well from the floor, which he has not been this month, he's still finding ways to be a big part of the Syracuse outcome. And, you know, without that sort of thing, especially your leader, your best player, a lot of times when they're not hitting their shots, they're going to kind of get down on themselves. They're going to get frustrated, but he finds other ways to contribute to victories.
All right, Matt, the third player that I wanted to talk about is Peter Carey. So what is your word for Mr. Carey, the reserve center?
The best one I could come up with for now is maybe. Like, he plays 11 minutes yesterday on Saturday against NC State. 4 rebounds, 3 fouls. I really don't care about the fouls. He's not going to play enough minutes at this point to where foul trouble is going to be an issue for him. And he could be. There was a play. He didn't even make the basket, and I forget who passed it to him. But it was kind of, he's coming off a screen and they lead him to a pass. He collects the ball and goes right back up with it. He missed the basket. But it was an athletic move. It was a productive move. And we see little spurts of it from him. So maybe he could be a part of this rotation the rest of the season. I still say I like Benny Williams in this small ball 4 role more often. He had 11 points on Saturday, 9 of them in the second half. But we see he gets a big block on one play. He grabs a big offensive rebound and goes back up with it and gets fouled. He has creativity around the rim. We saw Judah throw a lob to him, and he kind of comes up on the other side and lays it in there. So I think honing him into an inside game, which I know you agree with, has been more effective for the Syracuse team. But maybe Peter Carey can work himself into consistent backup center minutes for this team.
So I'm going to throw it back here a little bit for my word. It's not quite a word. It's kind of a triage of words. So the word I'm going to use here is Sean Bradley-esque.
Can we just hyphenate the whole thing and make it one word?
Hyphenate the whole thing. Sean Bradley-esque.
Okay. Explain yourself.
So we all remember the Stormin Mormon from BYU picked after Shaq in the 1992 draft. He was 7'6", maybe 250 pounds. Now, Peter Carey, not quite that slight, but he has a similar build. And as you mentioned, he provided some quality minutes off the bench in the first half when Malik Brown was in trouble. But it was who he was going against that made it Sean Bradley-esque, because DJ Burns is 6'9", 275 pounds.
Very Oliver Miller-esque. Can we go there?
There you go.
That's probably an apt comparison in that era.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. The former Phoenix Sun, Oliver Miller, and Peter Carey, 6'11", 205 pounds. So you're giving up 70 pounds, and you figured he'd get bulldozed inside, kind of like Sean Bradley would have back in the day. But in one sequence, you saw Burns going for a fadeaway, which was baffling to me when you have that kind of size and power on him. But Burns finished 5-for-14 on the afternoon for just 10 points and 4 rebounds. So in those 11 minutes, very nice job from Carey and the rest of the Syracuse big men really to slow Burns down and do a good job protecting the interior. Sean Bradley-esque.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Oliver Miller and Sean Bradley, neither one of those guys were on their Juice on the Cuse podcast bingo cards on this Sunday afternoon. So we'll end this segment on that note. And once again, we talked AJ Miller last time. Wes had a chance to sit down and talk with AJ Miller, 2025 quarterback prospect, after his official visit last weekend to the SU Hill. That'll be the next segment here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Wes Chang here with you. And two shows ago, we welcomed on 2024 quarterback AJ Miller, who had just set up an official visit to Syracuse after he picked up a PWO offer. He's coming off that visit last week. Let's check in with him now. AJ, how are you today? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, AJ, great to hear from you. So how did that official visit to Syracuse go?
It was seriously an unreal 2 days. It exceeded my expectations completely.
Wow. What about it exceeded expectations?
Well, just the commitment the staff has to me. I'm the only PWO offered quarterback in the country, and the room is light and they're not trying to load the room. And I didn't realize that. I didn't know if I was going to come in and just be another guy for the defense to get looks on and be a tackle dummy. No, I'm coming in to play quarterback. And that they made that very clear to me. They made that very clear. They love me. That Coach Brown had, Coach Brown is all in, Coach Nixon's all in, Coach Nunn's is all in, all the top guys are all in on me, and they're bought into my process and helping me learn under Kyle and being ready to play and step up. And that was huge for me and my family. The amount of character they showed, I mean, when we went to a basketball game and they took me to breakfast, they sent 8 guys with me. 8. Like, the love I felt just for me and my dad was crazy. Like, it wasn't just one, like, recruiting intern, like, following us around. No, absolutely not. It was the whole deal. They did that at the basketball game. They took, then we went to breakfast the next morning, this morning, and it was the same deal. Like, 8 guys, like, just following me around, like, answering everything I need, supporting me, taking care of me. My father and I both left feeling like this is a place that he could drop me off, and his son immediately in another family.
That is saying a lot, but AJ, you know, your recruitment continues to heat up. Connecticut came in recently with an offer. Does that change anything for you with Syracuse at all?
Well, no, sir. So basically, I mean, the UConn offer is a tremendous opportunity that I do not take lightly, that I will check out, but one has nothing to do with the other. Syracuse has been recruiting me for a long time. Very familiar with the staff, and just to get up there and really get a feeling, I spent my whole day with Coach Harris, the assistant quarterback coach, and we went over the new install that Coach Nixon's putting in and just learning college ball, getting adjusted to college ball and talking about when I'm going to start. Toward the facilities, the athletic dorms, cafeteria, they really take care of the football guys there, and that's really a good feeling. Like, I'm really going to get taken care of. That's good. That's huge for my parents as well.
So the last time we spoke, you said you were just getting to know Coach Dixon. Did you get to speak with him at all on the trip?
So Coach Nixon was not on the trip. He was on the road. But one thing I will say about Coach Nixon is, although he wasn't on the trip, I don't know if I've been texted more by a human in the past 24 hours. Like you said, you've never heard of this before. That's because this new staff, they are bought in and they care about their players. And like, the fact that I was treated like this on my visit and my family was treated like this was unreal. Even with Coach Nixon not there, like, I got first-class treatment the whole time, without a doubt.
AJ, it sounds like you had a lot of highlights from that trip. So any particular thing that stood out to you more than others?
Honestly,
getting to watch the walkthrough and going through install with Coach Harris is probably my favorite part, because that was football.
AJ, we'll get you out of here on this one. Where are you at with your decision process? Because I know you said on the last podcast you wanted to sign on February 7, but you've got a couple other trips lined up. So what's the latest?
Well, I'll tell you what. Syracuse just made a tremendous impression on me. And the only thing holding me back from giving my commitment is that I am going to take these visits. I'm going to do my due diligence and finish. It's been a long process, but I am going to take my Fordham. I am going to take my UConn. But Coach Nixon's coming to see me in school next week as well. So I'm not holding back from that.
AJ, thank you so much for the time. Again, I really appreciate it. Take care.
I appreciate it. Yes, sir.
AJ Miller, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of interesting nuggets about his trip, including eight staffers being assigned to him. It definitely sounds like they rolled out the red carpet for him. We'll see how it goes ahead of the February 7 signing period. He still has a couple visits left, but I would pay very, very close attention to this recruitment. We will take a quick break. We'll be back to close things out here on the Juice on the Cues podcast, and I'm Wes Chang.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Final thoughts here on the Juice on the Cues podcast for January the 28th. And mine has to do with the KenPom rankings. We'll keep our eye on the turning resumes as we go throughout the month of February, beginning this week. And Syracuse now 77th in the KenPom rankings. So they're still in that conversation on the outside looking in at this point. But I was looking at something in the KenPom rankings. I've never really paid attention to it before, Wes. And I don't know exactly how it's computed. So as much as I'd love to give you all the numbers and stuff, I'm not smart enough to know it. There's a luck ranking, basically who is outplaying their performance more than anybody else. And you want to be low on this. Maybe I don't know how to necessarily look at it, but Syracuse is the fourth luckiest team in the country to date this season. So the numbers say they should not have the record they have. The numbers say they should not be as good as they have been. And you would think you'd want it the other way around, maybe not all the way to the other side of the seesaw where you're just completely unlucky and you're not getting any results, but you want to be outperforming your expectations. And that seems to me to note that Syracuse has not been that way and should actually be worse than they are at this point. So as they kind of enter February, they're 5-4 in ACC play, tied with Miami, Virginia Tech, and NC State. NC State, who they just beat on Saturday, just one ranking behind them at 78, but Miami 66, Virginia Tech 52. I have not been paying attention enough to them to know why they're 52nd, but also even Pitt, who Syracuse has beaten twice, is six spots ahead of them at 71. So luck, maybe you don't want it to be on your side in this case, but it seems to be showing some underlying notes of Syracuse has not played as well as their record has shown.
Matt, one of my favorite quotes of all time is, "I'd rather be lucky than good." And that's what Syracuse has been so far. There's the hope that, or at least the hope that they don't have a regression to the mean, that they stay lucky. They actually haven't moved from that luck ranking since that loss two games ago to Florida State, because they came to that game ranked fourth in luck too. So they're still lucky.
I just noticed this for the first time today, and you've been looking at this all along. You got to fill me in on these things, Wes. I'm dumb enough as it is. I need all of the good information that I can get to balance out everything else that I've got going on.
Well, here's some good information for you, Matt, because I'm looking at now the net rankings, which is Syracuse jumping three spots from 79 to 76. So, NC State didn't really help them that much. It was a quad three game, but what it does was avoid another loss like an FSU that was going to drop them significantly. So I've been mentioning this next three game stretch, really important for Syracuse, quad two game against Boston College on the road. And then again, I mentioned this, high noon is a quad one game on the road against Wake Forest. If they can get that pick up that second win to pair with that Pitt quad one win, I think they're in really good shape in terms of the NCAA tournament. One other thing I want to point out is that they have a quad four game against Louisville. Louisville is 273rd in net ranking. I don't think I remember the last time that Louisville has been this bad since this recent stretch they've had in the last couple of years. So they're an absolute mess. But if they can win these three games, get to 17 wins while picking up a quad one win on the way, I think that should set them on a really good path. And Matt, one other note I want to close out to today's show on is Syracuse landing a commitment from 2025 four-star, get used to saying that with Syracuse football, four-star defensive lineman Sharlandon Strange on Saturday. He held over 20 offers, picked Syracuse over finalists Pitt, Penn State, Rutgers, and USC. Those are great schools to beat out for his commitment. Great way to kick off the class with one of the top recruits in the Northeast. And again, Fran Brown, easy for me to say, fulfilling a promise to recruit the Northeast hard as he gets into a full cycle to bring his style of recruit. So great start to the class, Matt.
We have officially seen his presence making itself into 2025 now. So it's not just a flash in a pan. It would not seem like that, at least for Fran Brown, getting those recruits. So more good news for the Syracuse football team, good news for the Syracuse basketball team. And you know what? It's good news for the Juice on the Hughes podcast. It gives us something to talk about positively. So with that in mind, for Wes Chang, I'm Matt D'Agostino. Thanks for tuning in once again here on the Believe Network and on Rivals.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.